Hi, welcome to Agile Self-Development, the podcast that gives you a roadmap for personal growth and self-improvement for your body, mind, and spirit. Hi, I'm Helene Coppell, and together we'll take this journey to becoming our best self, one version at a time. My guest today says disconnection is the driving force of negative outcomes in our lives. So increasing connection can maximize value and unlock the greatest potential. Now, alignment, well, that's the catalyst for that increased connection. My guest today is Rachel Richter, an alignment coach, advisor, and strategist. She helps people recognize the level of choice that they fundamentally hold to choose to thrive. And she makes thriving possible through tools and guideposts of creating greater alignment to drive people's greatest success. She's the founder and managing partner of Inline, the premier alignment coaching and advisory practice for teams and organizations. And she's the founder of Align and Thrive, the alignment coaching practice for individuals for the purpose of making thriving possible, both personally and professionally. And now, on with the interview. Welcome to the show, Rachel.
Thank you so much, Helene. How are you today?
So far, so good, but it's still early.
I get that.
So let's get started from the very beginning. Something I like to do is just get to the very heart of the basics. How would you define what it means to be in alignment with oneself?
Oh, I love that. And thank you so much for both having me on to answer that question and share my thoughts on it, as well as actually go into some detail on that, because I love what you said in regards to oneself, right? Alignment is something that can be applied to interpersonal relationships as well. But clearly, as the host of Agile Self-Development, when we develop ourselves, we're able to show up in the world in a more powerful way. So regarding alignment, as it's defined to oneself, alignment is when your actions reflect your priorities and intentions, very simply put. Now, if we break that down a little bit, the reason it's action-focused is because otherwise it's just words, and words only have power when they're used to actually create the thing you want to create or to see the situation change as you want it to change. So everything comes down to action. So alignment is when your actions accurately reflect your priorities and your intentions. Priorities, obviously, things that you would consider to most significantly impact the intentions that you have, to manifest the intentions you have. And by intention, I don't just mean like if you want to write a book, that would actually be the, just to use a basic example, that would be the priority. But what is the intention behind it? What is your why? You're not just writing to write. What is the situation you are trying to create for yourself, to resolve, or to be in, right? What is that intention? What is that deeper intention? And the thing that excites me about this practice, whether it is personal or professional related, is, you know, a lot of times people, certainly myself, probably you too, it's not like really clear at, you know, even early adulthood necessarily what your quote purpose is in life.
Right.
But intention is not purpose. Intention is whatever you're deeply holding that's driving you and deeply motivating you now. Not necessarily having it connect. Oh, sorry, what?
I said, I like that. You know, the purpose is a big topic that comes up on here. And I live in, you know, I toe the line between, you know, corporate America and woo-woo. You know, I'm a yogi, new agey, right? And there's a lot of talk around finding your purpose. First of all, as if it's just one, right? And second, as if like you don't know your purpose, what the hell's wrong with you? How are you going to live your life without a purpose, a driving purpose? And, you know, I follow my curiosity, which I got from Elizabeth Gilbert. There was a whole essay once had out there about somebody who was like, I feel less than because I don't know my purpose. I don't know if I have a purpose. Well, let's follow your curiosity and see where it leads you. And I can say my purpose, in my big picture purpose in life, is helping people. And it's
it can apply so many ways. So that's how I like to leave my purpose. But intention, what do I want to get out of this moment? There's the why. I know I go into yoga, set an intention for your practice. And the really woo-woos will be like, I intend to help the planet. But really, are you going to do that in this class today? You know, so there's different concepts around that. For me, like I go in with the intention of be here now, stay present, get out of your damn head that is already 3 hours from now complaining about work. So I just went a long story to come around to what I read you said, which is intentional actions matter much more than perfect ones. And that I'm guessing, right? Your intentional actions, you were doing it with intent to solve a problem, to reach a goal, to, you know, enter a certain state. But let's get back to you. And if you can share with me what you meant by intentional actions are more important than perfect ones.
Oh, I love this. There's so many things that you shared that I'm just like, yes, yes, and yes, and I would love to talk with you about this for 4 hours. I feel like this is the beginning of something. So just wanted to share that, just how wonderful it is that you're already in a space where you're seeing purpose versus intention. And I kind of want to just hit on that, if I may, for one brief second. Please. Before we go to that other part, because in the English language, purpose, it's almost like you have to have a use in order to be here, right? And an object serves a purpose. Even art, we talk about purpose with art. Well, I'm sorry, but when you really know yourself and really love yourself, which is a whole effort and spend a bunch of time getting there, but then you see, I don't need a purpose and I don't have to know my purpose in order to sufficiently be here and know that I'm worthy of dignity and respect. Purpose, great, we can talk about that, but intention, a desired state that you want to create, to resolve, to be, whether that's about the world or yourself, that's to get back to your point about intentional action mattering more than perfect ones. Perfection, not only is it an unattainable standard, we don't even see perfection in nature. In fact, what we believe to be beautiful about nature and what has been created that we have not ourselves created is that it's not perfect. If you look at the way, you know, natural organisms develop, like it's only through mutations that we have evolved. So this idea of perfection is kind of funny, which is why I like intentional actions mattering more than perfect ones, especially as a recovered perfectionist myself. It very much serves.
Still working on it.
Yeah.
We've heard perfectly imperfect.
Yeah. But how do I put this? Perfect and imperfect. I realize this. I've been thinking deeply about perfection. And, you know, when we talk about alignment, we talk about the idea that it's actually the language of something you mentioned, that it's the language of curiosity, an invitation. It's not the language of judgment, shame, or blame. That's not the language of alignment. And when we think about judgment, perfect or imperfect, both of those words are judgment, because it's related to a certain context with which you're judging it, to a certain standard. And so if we just decide to live in curiosity and invitation, then we're living in the space of intention versus perfection.
I like that idea of invitation. Curiosity is invitation to explore, essentially, right? You bring up something and now it's crossing over to another topic, which is how do we, you know, why aren't I doing the things I should be doing? And people talk about motivation, right? You're not motivated enough. You just need more motivation. You need to get up. You need action. So, you know, your intention is a good start. I have the intention to become a world famous podcaster, but I'm not doing the actions to promote myself. So I have great intentions, but not intentional actions. So even if I wasn't perfect, here's where we get into iterating. I would at least start, right? And iterate. And you say iteration, we've got iteration is the mother of perfection, but we don't need perfection. But can you share more about that in terms of, you know, coming to alignment?
Yeah. So a lot of times people feel like alignment is when they reach a certain step or they are perfect in this way or that way. So that's why I like to say, okay, I'm going to meet you where you're at. You want to get to perfection? Here's where you start. Along the way, you'll know that perfection both isn't attainable and it's really not something that matters. But if you want to get there, it's about iteration, right? That if you're going to keep approaching the thing you want. At some point along the way, as you're iterating, you'll recognize that it's really about continuous improvement, which is why alignment itself is a practice over time. It's not a, oh, Tuesday at noon, I got aligned. Good, we're on that.
Right? Wait, don't move. I'm in alignment. Don't tip me over. Right? It's like, but it's going to happen anyway. And everything, you know, that those last bunch of sentences, you and I are talking from a personal self-improvement realm, but those same words can apply to the day job, right? It's always the way I explain, you know, when I bring people on here, I ask them to first listen a little bit to my podcast to understand what it means, what agile self-development means. And the easy description I give people who haven't done their homework is, Rome wasn't built in a day, and neither are we.
That's right.
Right? So we take a stab at something. You don't know what you don't know, but you kind of start with, you know, what is the foundation and what can I do today that I know and learn from? Let me guess, I'm not going to get it right. Let me take a stab at it and learn from it so that I can iterate. And the same thing. So what does that look like? Can you give an example of what iterations look like when you're trying to come into alignment with your priorities and your core values, I would say also?
Yeah. So the reason I left values out of it is because a lot of people don't
have any. No, I'm just kidding. They have no values or morals.
They sometimes people think of values as something that they're given by from other people, especially when you're talking about in a professional realm, right? Organization's values. Intention has never been used or misused rather in the context of this language as something that someone else is choosing for you, right? Priorities can be chosen for you. Actions, to a certain extent, you're told what to do by people. Values, these are our values. We live by the royal we. But intention is different. And that's the reason I've stopped the definition of intention. Yes, of course, your personal values would inform in your intentions. And when you get curious about your deeply held intentions, they actually might shift your values themselves. But because it's bi-directional, I left it at intentions. And then we battle tested this definition with professionals across mental health, diplomacy, business, et cetera, to see, can you leverage and use this definition to your advantage in your fields? And how would you be able to do that? So knowing that when we talk about values and intentions, if we take a step back, a person has more than one intention. Sometimes they're unconscious, sometimes they're conscious. Sometimes they compete with each other. And so when you find, hey, intentional actions matter more than perfect ones. And you're like, well, my intention is to be a world-class, to use your example, a world-class podcast host, but I'm not doing these four things that these eight books have told me are key to success in this field or what I want to do. Well, why is that? Getting curious. What other intentions do I have that I might not even be aware of? And that's where the curiosity and the non-judgmentalness, the no blame, no shame, no judgment come in, because it's an invitation to be curious about what your own intentions are that you might not have consciously voiced even to yourself, to see what's there. And then you can start to explore, oh, well, this is actually like me, my spirit, my soul, my essence, whatever you want to call it, has nothing to do with religious affiliation or affiliation with the universe in general, but just like you, right? You as an entity, that's your deeply held intention. Then you might have a part of you that is coming to play that you didn't recognize that has a different intention, because for a very long time, that part was serving to protect you in some way. And so that intention, being understanding of that piece of you that was there that is no longer serving you, it's actually now competing with you who is really wanting to show up, we can start to engage in a place of non-judgment, of curiosity, of invitation, of honoring and letting go. I mean, we could go into this whole, that's like a whole rabbit hole in and of itself, probably another podcast, but that part of it is where you would find, well, how do I, to get to your question about what does an iteration look like of alignment? It's the honesty with yourself, the curiosity of, okay, my intention is fill in the blank, something I'm choosing. How am I prioritizing this? Let me look at my current priorities. First question, do these connect? How much do they connect? If they're not connecting as much as I'd like, there is an opportunity there to create greater alignment by reprioritizing the things that actually connect with your deeply held intention. Now, if they are connecting, but you're not acting on it, it's what am I actually doing with my day? Is this aligned with the priority that's connected with this intention? How much is it out of alignment? How much time am I actually spending on this thing that I say matters because I want to manifest this intention to become real in my life?
I think I can come up with a real life example. I'm going to say, I have a friend who I know doesn't listen to my show, so I think we're safe, who always talks about starting her own business. I want to start my own business, or I can't stand my job and want to get out of it. I want to start my own business. For years and years, not a single move towards it. And that's, I think, an example of being out of alignment. And there may be the intention to just escape where she is greater than the intention to start the business, I think, which may be conflict, but I'm seeing that there's no intentional actions to line up with that want.
Yeah. When your actions themselves are not connected to your intention, they might be intentional, but it's not about that intention. They might be intentional about the thing you're holding subconsciously or not recognizing or validating that something's motivating your behavior. It's not this intention. We have many intentions. What is connected to that action? That's why I like the idea of actions, priorities, and intentions. They're all connected. So I like the idea of saying, when actions reflect your priorities and intentions, because it's really easy to focus on that action piece. But at the end of the day, there's got to be a through line between your actions, priorities, and intentions. They have to be connected. If they're not, something's out of alignment. And it might be a competing intention. It might be that a priority that you don't consider a priority, but is forced in some way, which is a whole conversation on choice right there, forced upon you in some way, is taking up too much of your time. But something there is not connected.
Yeah. You say disconnection is the driving force of negative outcomes.
Exactly.
So it's the disconnection of essentially those three forces, right? Yeah. Your priorities, your intentions, and your actions. That was the third one, right?
Yeah, yeah. On one level, it's your intentions, priorities, and actions being disconnected or not fully connected, depending on, you can phrase it either way. And on another level, if we think about, you know, at a more meta level, our self, right? Our self energy. When we're not manifesting our intentions into action, we are actually living disconnected from our own selves.
I see. And that can cause a lot of frustration. I know for me, I start to feel anxious. I'm going to give you a minutia example, right? I get up early, I'm sitting on the couch, I'm having my coffee, and I intend to go to yoga for an early morning class. I have this intentional action that if I go to yoga, I'm going to have a great day. I want to go. But there's that other part of me that goes, oh, this couch is so cozy and I got my coffee, fighting with that great intention, right? That great intentional action. There's a disconnect going on in my mind.
Yep.
Out of alignment.
Out of alignment.
Yeah.
What I love how you just said that, by the way, because I noticed your posture for everyone listening. It went down and back, shoulders up, hands out. It was very yoga-esque. But I love about it, Helene, is that did not come across at all from a body language perspective as any kind of protectiveness from yourself towards yourself. Like you weren't in a place of judging, shaming, or blaming yourself. It was simply a lack of alignment. It wasn't something is wrong with you and you should be ashamed or you're blaming yourself. Like it wasn't any of that. And that's the reason why I like the word itself, alignment, is it's a neutral term. It yes. does not connote judgment, shame, and blame. And so we can simply focus on the action, which is about, right, the definition, right? Actions, parties, and intentions all connected. It's not about the person. Person right. stays out. We're not judging the person. We're not even judging the action. We're just saying, is it in or out of alignment? Is it connected or is it disconnected? That's it.
Where does your work come into play with relationships? Do you deal with relationships that are out of alignment?
Yes. I could joke and say starting with my own, but no, my husband and I we're good. In fact, because of this work, it has actually informed better, I would say, relationship hygiene and connection between us. But yes, I work with people individually, in partnerships, in relationships, and also professionally. Because again, that's just another facet of a relationship and another type of relationship. I would say, how do I put this? So if alignment is fostering greater connection, right, with yourself, the reason this is so critical and so important relates to what you just mentioned, relationships. A deeply connected person does not neglect or harm themselves or others intentionally. And so that's why this practice is so important. It's not only something that can fulfill you. By doing that, the more people we have that are deeply connected, the less harm we have in our relationships and in our society, which is just a collection of many, 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 many relationships. And when people are disconnected from themselves, that's when the fear, the overwhelm, the shame, the blame, the judgment, the frustration, the hate, the othering, all of those sources of disconnection, all they do is breed more disconnection. That's why relationships, you know, when you see two people in conflict, a lot of times it can spiral out of control and do actually more harm, even though they both care to resolve it, but they're both coming at it from a disconnected place at the moment. And so alignment in relationships is critical.
I think about the expression, we're just not on the same page.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I use that one a lot. It's and to get on the same page, the way I would start it is intentions. So sharing your intention with whoever you're speaking with and really taking the time to listen to theirs. Most of the time, either our intentions are the same or most often they're mutually beneficial. When they're not mutually beneficial, it's a different conversation altogether. But most people have mutually beneficial intentions. And so who are trying to resolve something. And so when your intention is mutually beneficial or the same, then you already are coming from a place of connection and agreement. Then you can start talking about the priorities as you each see them. When you have agreement over that, you can start talking about the actions, which are probably very different, which is what's, you know, where the argument is coming into the priority too. But if you start from a place of mutual respect and understanding, that's your intention place. So as long as those are mutually beneficial, you're not creating a story in your mind subconsciously or consciously, oh, this person just wants X because, right? You're very clearly aligned on intentions. Now it's talking about connecting your priorities and your actions for the benefit of both.
And your action, right? Because how many people, you know, very often I'll say that so many people have no clue who they are. They will say, I am this and I do this. And you go, who the heck do you think you are? You don't know yourself at all. I've had it where I had to like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't even know. I was inadvertently insulting someone who was like, I hate negative people and they're always bringing me down and their energy and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, does she have any clue how negative she is? Right? That's like the alignment of words and actions or who I want to be versus what I'm actually doing. And we can have a million of these examples, but I don't want to let you off the hook with the work stuff because when it comes down to it, I do have half that's corporate America. And yeah. I know some great examples of misalignment, but I would love to hear if you've got any great big aha stories of, you know, misalignment or disconnection in the workplace.
Oh, gosh. Well, the reason that so it's funny, you know, I created my own alignment in my life first. And I noticed as I did that, the way I was able to show up at work professionally years ago just started getting, I mean, it was already really good, but it started maxing out. And so that's actually when I started in line was when I realized like, oh, wait, this is a focusing on alignment is its own thing, is a company, and it maximizes business performance. But when we think about the ways in which disconnection happens in an organization, you know, I'm a mathematician at heart. And so when I look at an organization, what I see is a set, right? And any set in mathematics, a set is always defined by its components. So if you want an organization to shift, then you're going to have each of those components shift. Because if that doesn't happen, the organization doesn't shift at all. And so when you go into an organization, it's essentially a microcosm of disconnection, of the very disconnection that we're talking about this entire other part of the show, where we see this around us all the time. Okay, now just stick a bunch of people who aren't deeply connected into one place. How do you think it's going to manifest? Siloed departments, priorities that aren't being met, leaders that are politically at odds with each other, people who are extremely well-intentioned and not able to get their points across in a way that their colleagues are receptive for, right? It's everywhere. It's even in the language that we use when we don't want to bother with something. Oh, I don't need to worry about that email. That's the other department. Ah, the other. It's disconnection. It's everywhere. And so the idea is, it's just the recognition that this is something that in 2023 is to be addressed if we want to create the powerhouse outcomes that we need in our world today. It's not out of, wow, corporate America is just terrible with this. It's, wow, we've not actually focused on alignment as a practice, either professionally or personally. What do you think happens when we don't do that? Is it any surprise where things break down across, you know, in many different ways? Or organizations that are humming along just fine and don't seem to ever be number one. They want to be, they have every intention to be, but they can't advance their results to the next level for some reason. Usually that too is from a lack of alignment somewhere. And again, it's an ongoing practice. So unless the organization has developed maturity and capability around alignment and infused it into everything from their, well, I don't need to go into the details, but unless they've infused this across the board, is it any wonder that they're not functioning in the way that would bring them to the number one spot or to keep the number one spot?
Right. I can think to get more specific on an example in my own experience is being with an organization that recognizes and knows here is our core competencies. Here's our mission. Here's our vision. And then someone in the C-suite shows up to a meeting one day and goes, I had this great idea. Even though we're all dentists, we're going to start offering medical services. I've skewed a little bit to the left of what the actual happening was, but to try to say, hey, let's remind you our vision or this or that does not involve medical. It's all dental.
Yeah.
No. We're going to make great money. Let's go in here. It turned into a disaster project that we kept trying to warn the C person about. It's not in alignment with our goals, our vision, or anything else. Of course, it's going to be a nightmare project. There's a disconnect between what we know, what we do, and what you're asking us to do.
Yeah. When an organization is in alignment, they're in alignment with themselves, their mission, and their stakeholders across the board, internal and external, to any extent and every extent possible. And so that when you don't see that, it's usually the opportunistic, I got to hit this number by any means necessary, which then supersedes the actual long-term sustainable growth patterns and all that, like what you're mentioning. It sounds like opportunistic growth was one of the things that person thought, we could just do this and make X and it would be great. Well, is it in alignment? No. Well, then why don't you shore up the very things you're doing that are in alignment and make those gangbusters? Because that will be sustainable.
Time and money were lost. There was no outcome. It didn't fit.
Also, trust around your staff, because it's not robots most likely executing all the work. And so now you've lost the trust of the very people who poured all of their great effort into those things that now no longer matter. What's going to happen when the next great idea shows up? Are they disillusioned? Are they going to work as hard? What is their deeply held intention? Do they trust that your deeply held intention is mutually beneficial with theirs?
Nice. Okay. So before we go into our speed round.
Okay.
How can people work with you? For those who are driving, how do they find you without going into the show notes? Because I will have the information in the show notes, but how do you work with people? What's the best way to engage you?
Yeah. So if you go to www.getinline, that's GETINLIGN, like alignment, but different. So www.getinline.com, you can find me and my team there and connect for both personal, professional, like the whole, everything you want. There are different options to connect with. And also, if you like this and want more of this in alignment in your life, there's also the alignment newsletter. that you can sign up for called Get In Line with Rachel Richter.
Great. You ready for your speed round?
Sure. I'm excited and very curious, actually.
All right. Knowing what you know now, would you have chosen a different college major? And if so, what would it be? By the way, I started in math and it became a minor.
Oh my God. Yeah. So I started in math. It became finance because my school had nothing but theoretical math at the time. And I was more interested in applied math. Okay. Yes and no. I would have kept finance and I would have done probably a major in statistics.
Favorite treat from the ice cream truck.
And psychology. Favorite treat from, I'm like, my whole job's about human psychology. Favorite treat from the ice cream truck. The ice cream, so chocolate coating with nuts and vanilla ice cream in the middle.
I like the toasted almond one.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yes.
I like that one too. iPhone or Android?
iPhone. I was Android and my whole family got me to switch. So hashtag peer pressure.
Yeah. Oh, once I switched over, I just didn't know how to go back. Favorite streaming video network?
Ooh. I was digging Netflix for a while, but I gotta say, I'm really enjoying HBO at the moment.
Oh, that's a good one. Water ski, snow ski, jet ski.
Can't water ski, jet ski. I'm gonna say jet ski. Yeah.
I think I would go with that one too.
That one sounds like the easiest to not hurt myself.
I know. Like, which am I least likely to break a leg?
I'm very clear on my strengths. Helene.
Right. Do you know what I learned at this new job? By the way, just a different way to think. By the way, when I went into training for this new job, they shared your strengths are not necessarily what you're good at. It's what lights you up. And it's a different way to see your strengths. And I loved that because honestly, you know, growing up, like I was a child of an accountant. So numbers just come naturally, an accountant and a bookkeeper. So I'm great at math. But I had to get rid of the major because it was boring the heck out of me. It's not a strength. Yeah. You know, my strength is talking to people because it lights me up. And your weakness is what depletes you.
Oh, I love that.
Interesting, right?
I was going to say on that note, my life now makes a lot of sense because my mom was a PhD in theater. I didn't even know they offer those, but PhD in theater. My dad, mathematics. I am their child. So being at the intersection of EQ and IQ as a in perpetuity lifelong practice as a professional seems to make a lot of sense now.
Yeah. See what they give us. Okay. Anything, this is the point where I say, is there anything you didn't say that you wanted that you wish I would have asked?
Oh, I would just, I would say about choice. Alignment is so important because it's a person's choice. Like, you don't have to get in alignment. It's all your choice. How much, when, how often, how you do it, it's all your choice. And intention is your choice too. So always reminding yourself of that, that helping yourself remember and recognize how much choice you actually have in your life will help immensely towards being able to prosper in whatever you choose to do.
Great. I like that. Thank you.
Thank you for joining me. Visit agileselfdevelopment.com and subscribe to the podcast so you can receive new episodes right when they're released. And if you enjoyed the podcast, I'd love it if you'd leave a review in Apple Podcasts. It makes a big difference in how the podcasts are ranked. Thank you again for joining me, Helene Coppell, for this episode of Agile Self Development. Become your best self, one version at a time. Catch you soon.